Well, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And some of the children were talking at dinner about what an entrepreneur is. And I thought, if I opened a food truck or a restaurant, tried to franchise something, and I only served milk, would I be in business? It'd be a novelty for a little bit, wouldn't it? I'd have a whole lot of patrons for a little bit, and then somebody said, can you add some chocolate to that milk? You got chocolate milk? Nope, just got milk. Well, I only drink skim milk. I got whole milk, that's it. I need 2%. All I got is whole milk. You think business would just be sprawling across the $10 billion a year company? I don't think so, huh? That's the way it works. Let's look here at Hebrews 7. I'll read our text first. Beginning in verse 25, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, speaking of Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We have a high priest. This is by whom we are represented, by whom we are saved. Those that are saved will be in him, be represented by him. And to us in this room tonight, to us that walk this nation, The vast majority of people throughout the world are Gentiles. And you say, there's a high priest. And might as well be an auto mechanic. No, that means nothing to people. People that didn't grow up seeing this tabernacle, seeing this physical picture of what the Lord requires to be in His presence, His Shekinah glory. Who He is that you're approaching. We didn't grow up with a King Uzziah that foolishly went in there by himself for what he knew and what he thought he was going to accomplish and come out a full-blown leper that the whole nation saw. We didn't have that. Lord hadn't given us that. But you know what he has given us? He's given us his word. He's come to us in his word. This is recorded for us. We can go back and read these things and meditate on these things. We can take these meals in that he gives us and have that for nourishment of our body. We pray for food all the time, don't we? Lord, bless this food. Bless Christ our bodies. Bless a message to our bodies. That's what we need blessing. That food will come and go. It goes out with the draught. Lord said so, right? Oh, that's what I need. I need to hear something from Him. I need to see Him. Hope He has a meal for us. There's some things that I know. I know some things. Worldly, I know quite a bit of things. A whole lot. If I pick that glass up and let go, gravity's going to make it go to the ground. Newton figured that out a long time ago, made some money off telling folks that. We know some things. I know some things about the Lord. I know some things about man. And I can read that. I can know that by reading it in context. And I can understand that by discernment. The Lord's revealed some of these things to me. They're not complicated things. This isn't the filet mignon of meals. This is peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is milk. This is basic. And it's safe, and it's nourishing, and it's good. It's tasty. I want to look at five quick things this evening. First, God is holy. He is holy. The supreme attribute of God. People say, tell me about God one word. Well, God's love. Well, He is love. Yes. God's good. Scriptures tell us that. None's good but God. His supreme attribute, that's the underlying foundation for all of His attributes, is His holiness. God is holy. That means something. That's not just a word. That means something. Man's unclean. saw this morning. That means he ain't holy. He's sin. That's all we are, is sin. Man needs an advocate. We need a mediator. We need a go-between to be saved from what we are and what we deserve as a proper punishment for what we are. What God's law demands. And that go-between, I know this. This is confirmed by the Scriptures. That go-between, the only hope man has, the hope, is Christ. Christ the mediator. Who He is. His holiness is what's required. And what He did on behalf of His people. He saved some folks. He did it one way, and it was in Him. That's how He did it. And He did all that for a particular people. For that particular people, that chosen people, His sheep, His body, that salvation is forever accomplished no matter what. No matter what. No matter what comes past. Another government took over. No matter that. I got sick. Don't matter. Lost my mind. Don't matter. I made some horrible mistakes. I run from God, thinking I could do it by myself. That didn't matter. I was His. And He got a hold of me and yanked me right back to Him, kicking and screaming. God is holy. That's the first thing I want us to look at. It says in verse 26, "For such an high priest became us." We're going to touch on that in a minute. But it describes this high priest that became us. Who is holy? That's the first thing listed. Holy. Christ, God's high priest, His children's high priest, our high priest. He is holy. The same as the Father. He is the holy God. The Spirit. God the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And Christ is the Holy Son. Because the three are one. The Holy Trinity. For such a high priest became us. What's our representative? All the fullness of the Godhead was in a body. Jesus Christ our Lord. The Scripture says, God is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. The Scriptures, that's called the Holy Scriptures. The angels, called His holy angels. The tabernacle, that's the holiest of holies, isn't it? Our God is holy. He's unapproachably, infinitely, immutably holy. And I know that. Holy and reverent is His name. He declares that. I believe it and I know it. He's holy. John Gill said He is holy within and without. Oh, boy, if we need to hear that. It ain't just Christ walked this earth as a man holy. Not just that outside He never made a mistake and He was good and He just did everything right. What we can't comprehend is internally He was holy. That's why those priests were marked on their heads, because that's all He was. That's all He thought throughout His life was holiness. The Holy One of Israel, of His people. What else was He? It says there, He was harmless. He was holy. He was harmless. He was without any defect, any viciousness. There was no depravity in Him. Without guile in His mouth. Why was there no guile in His mouth? Because there's no malice in His heart. Harmless. He did no injury to any man's property or any man's person. You know that? Sinners can approach Him. What a thought. This holy God that became us, we can run right up to Him. We can touch His garment. We can wrap our arms around His ankles and cry on His feet. How approachable, how harmless. Latch a hold of Him without any fear of punishment and death. That's what we deserve. He's right to do so. We're allowed to beg mercy from Him. He's harmless. If it's in sincerity, we can. We can come to Him. His whole life was lived for others. And the chief priest, the scribes, the elders, all those hypocrites is all they were. Them wolves and sheep, not even in sheep's clothing, halftime open wolves. They knew it. They knew this. He was harmless. Matthew 27 says, He said, they chided Him on the cross. He saved others. Himself He cannot save. Why don't He come off that cross and whoop every one of us? He's harmless. We can't enter into that, can we? If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down now from that cross and we'll believe Him. You just declared He saved His people. You believe that? You're also declaring you ain't His people. Some may say, well, God's a God of judgment. He sends people to hell. Yes, He did. That's what we deserve. If we sin against His holy law, we're met with perfect holy justice. But there's no cause of harm from the Lord in that, is it? That's just just. That's just doing what's right. He didn't generate that harm. We did. That's on our heads. Man tries his best to blame his sin on anything other than himself. That's an external locus of control in psychology is what they call that. I failed the test because the test was too hard. No, I didn't study. What's the truth? You didn't study. I know I didn't. That's why I come up with excuses instead of answers. That's, if God sends me to hell, He's mean. No, He ain't. He's just. He's a holy God. Got to get that first, don't we? Got to learn that. Says He's there, He's undefiled. What was He undefiled with? He's undefiled with the sin of Adam. That's what every one of us are defiled with. That original sin. He didn't have it. He was born of a virgin. Made as a man. He's 100% DNA of a woman, of a man. He's 100% God. He's not defiled with Adam's sin. He's not defiled with all that blood of those slain beasts that all those priests were sprinkled with. Doesn't have that on Him. He's not defiled with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That affects the best men. And that ain't cuss words. People try to live a holy, clean, squeaky life. Not say nothing bad ever. That ain't it. I bet if you bump into them apostles, boy, your ears are burned. Probably set on fire out the parking lot. Unclean things like God wouldn't let God. I think, I know, I decided for Jesus. What blasphemy. That's unclean. That's unclean words. Defiled words. But our Lord wasn't defiled. Our high priest wasn't defiled. And that was proven too. We're given the scriptures for that. What did Pilate say? I find no fault in him. This is an innocent man. I dwelled on that quite a bit today. What can you find fault in? Can you find fault in me? Can I find fault in you? I mean, just one little old thing. Surely, even the best one that walked up and down Hamul, California. Maybe we could find just one little itty-bitty thing that we don't like about him. That's corrupt, that's defiled. Pilate, the king. Let me tell you something. You go up the pecking order. I've met some high-ranking individuals in this nation. The higher you get in the pecking order, the more picky they get. Me too. I moved up the food chain. I started getting more picky. This high-ranking man, Pilate, said ain't nothing wrong with him. He's undefiled. Says there is separate from sinners. He was often in the company of sinners, wasn't he? He was surrounded by them while he's on this earth. He was reckoned among them. He was counted as one of them. He's buried with them. Called a wine bibber, called a glutton, called a friend of sinners. Well, that's good news if you're a wine bibber, a glutton, or a sinner, isn't it? That's our friend. He's approachable, remember? But he was separated from them and Adam. That's where he's different from us. He wasn't made like us. He's not a man as we are. Not born of Adam. This is proven in that immaculate conception. He was born of a virgin. How else was he separate and different from me? How is he different from you? He was about his Father's business. He communed with his Father always. Boy, what a thought. Am I about my Father's business? People say all kinds of good things about me. My head ain't going to get fluffed up. Lord knows just how to put me in my place. I moved across the country. I sacrificed this. I sold that. Gave up this. Gave up this for my children. Gave up that for my wife and my family. Oh, what a good guy he did. So I'm not about my Father's business as he was about his Father's business. That's the only thing. He wasn't like us. He spoke to the Father always. I said, Lord, I know you always hear me. But for their sakes, I'm going to say this out loud. Lazarus, come forth. Just so they could hear. He was about his Father's business. He was faithful to the Father all the time. Man says, I'm faithful to God all the time. I'm going to ask you one question. This will get you. You got a refrigerator? You got a pantry? What are you doing? Well, I need food for tomorrow. He didn't have a pantry. He didn't have a deep freezer, did he? I got a deep freezer at the house. Well, and we start making excuses. Well, I don't want to spend money on gas. Go to the store every day. Uh-huh. Where's his next meal coming from? From his Father, and he knew it. He trusted him. Why? The Lord said, I'll never forsake you. You're mine. He knew that. He's God. Had no fear, no doubt. That's separate from us. We got these vain ideas of this good-looking Caucasian man that just grins all the time. Oh, he's touched with feeling our infirmities, yet without sin. Oh, that's what separates us the most, isn't it? He ain't like us. And it says, and made higher than the heavens. That's a lowercase h, isn't it? That's speaking of the visible heavens we have. The air where the birds and the clouds fly around. It's just so majestic. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout this universe displayed. We sat on the front porch the other day and watched that big thunderhead roll in. Oh, saw the lightning striking. Heard it rumbling. I ain't seen that in a long time. You get used to hearing that all the time. And you hear it again. You hear it in person. You can talk about it. You used to hear it. You can remember hearing it. But boy, when you hear that thunder in person, sitting right in front of you, a little different, isn't it? That gets you to the bone. Made me think about a lot of things. Higher than the angels in the heavens. Seated on His throne on high. That's where He is. He's made higher than the heavens. This holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, high priest, that is holy. Holy. That's a good representative, isn't it? If you have an advocate, you have a lawyer in court. That's who, anybody in their right mind, like we looked at this morning. In their right mind, that's who you want. You don't want yourself. Why don't you want yourself? Man's not holy. That's my second point. We are born with an infirmity. Mankind is in a desperate need of daily sacrifice for sin. Like we watched when the Lord washed His feet. He said, you're clean all without. Your whole body. Your head, your arms, your legs. Everything you think, everything you do. You're in me. You're clean. But your feet's dirty because it's in this world. Every day. Because you're a man. You ain't with me yet. You need cleansing. Look here in verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. He didn't have any. For he did this once, for his people and for himself, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. We have an infirmity. Every son of Adam is a sinner. Scriptures say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That scriptures teach us that we're sinners. We can read that to folks. So come here, let me show you something. You ain't as good as mommy said you was. Your sin. You got a little baby comes, and it's a day old baby, and it's crying, it's lying to you. It just wants to be held. It's a sinner. That's how it comes from the womb, speaking lies. We can show that to people in the scriptures. But our hearts tell us we're sinners. We know it. People say, I ain't that bad. You get you alone on a desert island. Let the Lord deal with you. You'll know how bad you are. You'll know. We don't love God as we ought to love God. We don't love one another as we ought to love one another. We love ourselves. Ain't nobody loves me like I love me. Kimberly loves me a whole lot. I love me better. Every one of us do. If everybody just be like me, we'd be me and my mom used to joke about it. If everybody's like us, man, this would be a good place to live. No, it wouldn't. We'd kill everybody else. Chopping each other's heads off. We're so self-centered creatures. What we see all about us tells us we're sinners. Everything around us. Isaiah said, we all like sheep have gone astray, every one of us. It's easy seeing other people, hard seeing ourselves. We have turned every one to his own way. Paul wrote to us, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None of us. Job said, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. Those beautiful sunsets on the ocean. Go down to Coronado and watch that sun dip down in the ocean. Oh, it's nice. Them oranges come out. Every time we drive home, looking over them mountains. Oh, and that shadow comes over the mountain. It's beautiful. Beautiful heavens, aren't they? I stand in amazement of them. God's holiness in comparison to Him says them heavens are unclean. Them skies you're walking around, unclean. And then he asks, how much more abundantly, how much more abominable and filthy is man? If in comparison those beautiful sunsets are just sin in God's eyes, unclean, can't be in His presence, how much more so is man which drinketh iniquity like water? A fish don't know it's breathing water. It don't know it's wet, does it? It's swimming as hard as it can. After Isaiah saw the holiness of God, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he cried, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Now I see, I thought I had knowledge before, everything I said was good. Now I see I'm unclean. and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My family, my loved ones, my friends, all my co-workers, every one of us is just alike. We don't see it unless God shows us. What revealed that? What could show somebody that? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We saw Him. We saw His holiness. That's who we sinned against. A holy God. David said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me, against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight." Would to God we get a glimpse of that. Through a dim glass, if we could understand it. If every person walking up down these streets could understand that. All else is going to fade away. Anything else you think is important, what's going on in your life, of eating your next meal, that goes away. And now there's a need of a Savior and a High Priest. You need a go-between. We realize that. The Lord shows us that. That'd be our only desire. The fact that we've sinned against God and we need Him to save us. We can cause harm against one another. I can physically hurt someone. I can defile somebody. But that is sin against God. That can cause pain to someone inside and out. I can say words that hurt somebody's feelings. I can go up and slap somebody so hard the taste comes out of their mouth. But that sin I commit is not against you. It harms you. But it's against the God of heaven and earth. That's what man ought to get in his head. Boy, if the Lord show us that. Because this fallen nature, our fallen acts, our fallen minds, we need someone to approach God on our behalf. And we need someone to provide a sacrifice that we cannot bring. We can't approach Him. And even if we could approach Him, the Holy God, we have nothing to offer. In and of myself, I can't bring nothing. The blood of bulls and goats, He has not desired. But my blood ain't going to do either. My death ain't going to do. Other sacrifices, the best that men and women can offer, the best we can do, He says it's a stench in my nostrils. God's holy. Man is unclean. We ain't holy. And we need an advocate. When Uzziah, we saw that recently. He went to enter in the presence of God without a mediator, without a high priest. That physical tabernacle was given as a picture, as a type of entering the holy presence of God. That one that entered must be anointed of God, and they must bring the required blood. And all that was a picture. But before Aaron was ever made a priest, before that ever come about, Christ was declared the high priest by an oath. Not by birth, not by appointment of the church, by an oath of God. The word of God who cannot lie. Look here in verse 20, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, "The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He became our surety. Our sign. It's more, I've heard men try to explain that with a co-signing. You go to buy a car and you can't get one, and your family member, friend signs for you, and you can't pay it, and they pay it. They pay what you can't pay. That ain't a good example for us. It's much more than that. He took us, engulfed us, and we became one with Him in a way that we can't comprehend. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. As a husband and wife made one, we still don't understand that in our lives. We're made one with the one that is our high priest. How can Christ be our mediator, our surety, the one who bears our sin and becomes one with us, and God remain holy? How can that happen? How can He remain just and holy and justify sinners? This can't be pretend. It can't be as if, or we're in a whole worse mess than we can imagine. That's pretend. Look here in verse 26. For such a high priest became us. Became us. This one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He became us. In the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, in the electing love, Christ became, being His elect, the Lord's elect, and us in Him. Christ the firstborn. He was made like as we are, yet without sin. He was our legitimate and legal substitute. An effectual substitute. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh. Who's sufficient for these things? Who can describe these things? The way that the Lord works. His goings and His doings. His moving like the wind. Where does it come from? How long is it going to be here? Where'd it go? If it left here, it's got to go somewhere, don't it? I don't know. It moves as the wind. Man doesn't know these things. Verse 27, here's what he did. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. He became us and then he offered up himself willingly. This one who is able, this Holy One, willingly laid down his life as a man, made like unto we are. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, that oath we just read, the Lord said, you're a high priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. I'm a Lord who doesn't turn. My word ain't going to go away. Which was since the law, the Son, maketh in honesty those interpreters italicized. You take it out without doing harm. The Son, who is consecrated forevermore. This act of being made His people, interceding for them, providing His own blood, this Holy One who is able, He accomplished that atonement, that sin atonement, for His people forever. He did it once in Himself, and He is consecrated. That means He's blessed, He's honored, He's sacred, He's holy, and we are in Him forevermore. That's a good substitute, isn't it? That's a good high priest. Can't ask for no better. Man couldn't invent nothing no better. Not in our wildest dreams. God's holy. Man isn't. We need an advocate. We need a go-between, a high priest. Someone to represent us before God. Christ is that high priest. Both who He is and what He accomplished in that office is done forevermore. For a particular people, that salvation is forever. No matter what. Who is that intercession? Who is that atonement for? Who does He represent? Look there in verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Who's them? Who is that shall be saved? That the law demands are cleared from guilt. Them that come unto God by Him. Seeing He liveth to make intercession for them. These people who are going to be saved are those who come to God. That's not all it says, though, is it? I know all kinds of people say, I found God and I came to God and I searched God out and I pigeon winged Him and bent His arm, made Him do what I wanted. And that's not all it says. It says they come to God by Him, by Christ. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. There's only one way to God. I hear people talk about there's so many ways. We're all going to the same place. We're taking different roads. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but that ain't what God says. There's one way. There's only one way to God if the Bible's true. If the Lord is not a liar and man is, there's only one way. Christ declared this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those are definite articles. The way. Not I'm one of a bunch of ways. I'm the way. I'm the truth. Not like, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. And He's the truth. And He's the life. Live your best life. Man ain't got no life. If we're going to live, it's Christ. No man cometh to me, to the Father, but by me, He said. And He said, the other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. He's our foundation. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Except for His name. Being in His name. Salvation is coming to God by, in, through, wrapped in, hugging on to Christ. Being with Him. How much is He able to save? To the uttermost. To the uttermost. My heart hurts when people say, I'm just too bad to hear these things. My heart hurts worse if people don't think they're bad enough. They don't feel that way. He's able to save to the uttermost of our sin. How bad could it get? What's the worst thing you could Google that probably the computer get took away by the FBI or something? What's the worst thing that could happen? all the way there to the uttermost. And he can save from that all the way to every requirement of God Almighty. Fulfilled to the uttermost. That's infinite, isn't it? No matter how bad it is, that's how the goodness of Christ could be shown. Christ is able to save someone in totality, completely. Why is he able to save? It says there, seeing he ever liveth. He ever liveth and always has lived because he's God. That's who he is. He lives now at the right hand of the Father. He lived on this earth as a man, as our mediator. And he ever lives for what purpose? He ever lives to make intercession for us. To pray for us. To represent us. We have an advocate. We have a representative at the very right hand of God the Father who is seated right next to him. He prays for us. This holy God, for a sinner like me, became me, represented me, and forever represents me and prays for me and makes intercession for me. What a thought. People said, you get high-minded. You don't get high-minded if the Lord shows you that. Oh, you're humbled. You get naked, get down to Jordan. That's what you do. Strip to everything. You just bow. You run to him, worship him like that wild man in the tombs, don't you? Paul said, who could condemn me? Christ died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What a promise. What a promise. One of the old writers asked this question. If you heard Christ in the other room, if our Lord, our Savior, our King was right on the other side of this door, and we heard Him, if you heard Him praying for you, Father, let Bob's faith fail not. Father, be with Kimberly. Lord, hold Brian in your hand. Comfort him. If we heard him praying for us, with what attitude would I go out and walk across that street? What worry would I carry around that somebody's going to do something bad? The boogeyman's going to get me. What foolishness. That's childish, isn't it? Talk about bedtime stories. Sit around worrying about nothing. Believe God. Don't believe him, but for his people, those put in Christ for the foundation of the world, those that he died for, he shed his blood for, he said, you're mine, I pray for you. I'll make intercession for you. What a thought. What a thought. Here's his written oath. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him, seeing for this cause he ever lives to make intercession. I wanted to sum this up. I wanted to make this as plain as I could. As simple as I could, but the Hebrew writer beat me to it. Do you know that? I labored hard, and then I read into chapter 8 just a little bit. Well, it's done right there, isn't it? Look here in chapter 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Everything I just told you, I'm going to sum it up for you. I'm going to get this down to bare bones. You can hold it in your pocket. Take it out. Take it home with you. You ready? Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. Remember what I told you needed? We have one. We have one just like that. We have him. Such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. The minister of the sanctuary. Minister of the sanctuary. That's here on earth. Our goings and comings. He serves us. And that's those that are already in glory. Our saints up there, he's with them. With them always. He's prepared a place for us. His becoming us and giving his life for us. He's the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, the body of Christ, his church, where he dwells. How do we become part of that church? There's a wonderful gospel message in it. That body of believers. How does that work? Who does the work to make that happen? Which the Lord pitched and not man. 39 words there. What a message. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, the minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and man didn't. I wrote this as I thought of Paul saying, I speak as a man. Paul was just putting it in the best terms that he could, that he was the Lord had given him to put it. I can't understand why the Lord would choose such a horrible sinner like me. He would willfully and his ability and wisdom become me. Walk this earth for me. Why would he do that? I can't. What a humbling thought. I can't enter into that. But since he's revealed himself to me, I have seen him. I can't see how anyone would curse him and turn from him and run from him. And like those men today say, leave our coasts. You get out of here. Get on a boat and go. How could that be? How could he love a sinner unclean like I am? And how could somebody not love him? What a conundrum. I felt so horrible. I don't know how to word that. I don't know how to put that in the accurate words so somebody couldn't nitpick. If they want to nitpick something, they'll find fault, won't they? I'm defiled. They'll find something defiled in me. But you know, our Lord, Christ himself, twice in the scriptures, it says he marveled. He marveled. I don't know how it's possible. The one who created all things, rules all things, he marveled. Once he marveled at someone's faith. He said, what marvelous faith. Oh, isn't that shocking? And you know what the other thing he marveled at? Their unbelief. How can they not believe this? You who see, he is able. We have a high priest. He's on his throne in glory right now, and he's making intercession for us, and he's ministering to all our needs, and will forevermore be all and in all to his people. God pitched it. He sealed it inside and out, just like the ark, and man didn't do that. Man didn't do it. That's a God we can bow to, isn't it? That's one we can worship. That deserves worship.